flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Bob is gone, and we're sad about that. He had TV obligations that he had to live up to. But the topic that we touched on briefly before is running games in the NFL. Are we seeing a resurgence, or is this kind of normal? You know, when you look at the numbers, teams that run a lot and run effectively normally are toward the top of the standings because those are teams that have leads a lot. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, is it a chicken or the egg thing here? You know, are you running because you're winning, or are you winning because you're running? Do you know what I mean, Limits? Like, you're going to find these teams. But having said that, as I look at the top of the list of teams that run the ball a ton and run it well, the most effective teams in the league in terms of yards per game on the ground, the Ravens, who, you know, were a bounce of the ball from the AFC Championship game, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, the Commanders, NFC title game, the Bucks were a playoff team, Packers a playoff team, Lions won the President's Trophy this year, did they not?
Yeah, and the Vikings too. There's a lot in the top 10 that all made the playoffs.
No, the Vikings are nowhere near the top 10 limits.
In rushing yards per game?
Yes, they had 109.1. That's not even in the top 12.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the postseason yards per game. It said that might help. Might help.
That's okay. So you can still run to win. Like, I think overall in pro football, the idea that we've exploded into this video game, throw the ball on every down, we're scoring millions more points than we ever did in the NFL, is completely overblown. I mean, go back and look at the Steelers and the Cowboys played a 35-31 Super Bowl. The Steelers and the Rams was, what, 31-19? Go back and look at all kinds of games. I'm looking at a season-by-season scoring summary. Okay? Total points scored by all means in every game. In 2024, that total is 22.9. Okay? I guess that's an average per team, 22.9. Do you know what it was in 1983?
I'm going to say 19.8.
21.8. We're talking about a point. 1 point. You know what it was in 1975? 20.6. So I think this idea that, wow, you know, all these rules have been made to legislate for offense. Well, they have, just to keep offenses a little bit ahead of the game. If they didn't, God only knows where we'd be with offense right now, because the single primary purpose for coaches across sports is to squeeze all the life out of the game. They know if you stop the other guy from scoring, you win. That's why you see the ridiculous, in some cases, outlandish, dramatic rules in all sports designed to increase scoring. It's because of coaches. Coaches live to squeeze the life out of offenses, to ruin offenses. That's why you saw the neutral zone trap in the mid-90s with the New Jersey Devils. They tried to kill hockey, and they damn near did. That's why you've seen the NBA adopt a three-point line all those years ago. That's slightly dramatic, to play your whole existence as a sport with, above all tenets in your sport, there's one that says 2 points for a basket. You know what? Let's clear out the lane a little bit. Let's increase our scoring a lot, and let's make that random line we're going to draw out there worth three. Three instead of two. And now the whole league is based on that, probably to its detriment. Half the games I watch in college and the pros feel like three-point shooting contests. Baseball, I don't even have to go into to how desperate baseball has become to still have offense at all. I mean, Rob Manfred, we're going to be looking at the golden at-bat soon, and I don't blame him. My God, if they had never changed the height of the mound, games would be 1-0 every night. And shifts and everything else. Coaches, managers live, and they always have, to ruin offense in sports. Which is a long way of saying the NFL really hasn't created this crazy, incalculable scoring league compared to the old days, where all they do is chuck it around the field and they ring up the scoreboard to the tune of 50 more points than they used to. How about one more point than they used to? Because if you're going to stay ahead of coaches who stay up at night dreaming of ways to stifle offense, then you're going to have to invent new ways just to stay a little ahead of the game. Just a little. 22.9 points per team in the NFL. I go back to 1967, and it was 21.8. I'm no math genius, Limits, but that's a difference of 1 point per game. That's my way of saying that people over-dramatize how much football has changed, and it's also very cyclical. Running games have never really left. It's still a way to win. The Philadelphia Eagles have run the ball more than anybody. I get it. They got Saquon Barkley. But lots of teams incorporate a running game as a huge part of what they do. Lots of successful teams. I just read for you the top 10 running teams in all of football. Ravens, Eagles, Commanders, Bucks, Packers, Lions. I still haven't found a non-playoff team, have I? Cardinals are the first one. Bills, Falcons, Steelers, 49ers, Patriots. Then we get into a little bit less effectiveness. What they have discovered over time is that unless you have a star, and maybe even if you do, you can win in the NFL without the great running back. In fact, almost every year teams do. That's just been proven time and time again. And it's been proven that you can find running backs everywhere. You don't need to invest high picks in running backs, and you don't need to pay them. I mean, it's sort of obvious that the position has a high attrition rate. Basically, your job title is carry that ball while giant, incredibly athletic, incredibly angry men weighing 250 pounds or much more try to kill you, and do that 300 times a year. and see how long you survive. And you don't survive. So you probably don't get a second contract. Teams have learned they can win with many different running backs, from LeGarrette Blount to Isaiah Pacheco to anybody you want to name. They win without stars all the time. You don't need a great one to win. Therefore, you don't need to pay somebody big money. You don't. Those are facts. And then every once in a while, you get a Saquon Barkley. So this brings us all the way back around to the Steelers, who clearly and still want to be a running team. I don't think that's all bad. I think you have to marry it to, you know, an adult, mature passing game, which they haven't had. But the idea that you would want to be primarily a run team, I don't think that's a sin or means you can't win. I don't. I just look at the Eagles. Now, they have a great roster. I get that. So going into next season, to bring this full circle, if Justin Fields is going to be your guy, I think you're almost forced to accent the run. You still need to pass in the NFL, obviously, and teams win by passing too. But if you're going to double down on Fields, you better have a running game with him. And I don't know that Jaylen Warren by himself is a guy that can do that. He's a nice complimentary piece. So they need a running back limits. All the better if they could get a star. If Genty is on the board, I'd take him in a second. But they're going to need somebody. You know, like the Bucs are high on this list, fourth best rushing team in the league. They got this kid, Bucky Irving, in the fourth round, who's a breakaway threat, really good player. You can find running backs everywhere. Steelers need to find one or two via free agency or the draft. And I would be willing to invest a high pick in a running back, only if I think that guy's going to be a star.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to admit, I endorsed the drafting of Najee. I watched him at Alabama. I was a little bit fooled by that. The same way people get fooled maybe by you say Jalen Milroe, although he's not even doing that great at Alabama.
He's proving my point.
With all the five stars and running over weak opponents and things like that. It reminds me of Matt Leinart from USC. Of course he's going to look great for them. How couldn't he? Didn't become a good pro. But if I think somebody's going to be a star, I'll draft him. Yeah. And even if I don't, second, third, fourth round, I have a running back on my radar. Do you?
I would have one on my radar, and I was also a huge advocate of Najee, thinking that he was, I mean, he was in the SEC championship game hurtling over people, looking like the next guy.
Yeah.
Maybe not Saquon level of greatness, but Najee for a while, I pointed at him just like that gif and said, Steeler. Like, that's the guy I want them to pick. And it shows that that position, sometimes it fully doesn't work out and fully translate. Now, that's the case with other positions too. But I think running back, because of the depth, and this being a good running back class, all things considered, you can draft a Cam Scataboo in a later rounds.
How about Tootin?
I'm very curious by what Nick said about Tootin as a speed back to go with the power that Jaylen Warren has and also speed. I would not draft a first round back, partly because of the issues they have at so many other positions.
And I said second round. That sort of goes against what I was just saying. If I don't think anyone's star enough to take in the first round, then I think I can wait till 3, 4, 5. And there are guys out there. There really are. Let me ask you a question, Limits. Najee Harris came in to the Steelers and has touched the ball almost 1,200 times in 4 years. 1,200 times he's had the ruck.
One of the most of anybody in all football.
One of the most in history over the first 4 years. What is the longest single play of his career, running or passing? Give me a guess.
I'd like to say it was a 36-yard screen pass.
You might be right, except that his longest pass is 32 yards, and the longest Najee Harris ever traveled with a football was on a run in his rookie year for 37 yards. I knew coming out of Alabama that he might not be, like people were talking about Derrick Henry, and you could see even from his numbers at Alabama, wait a second, this guy doesn't appear to be a home run hitter. But really, you know, you look at Franco and Le'Veon Bell, and I remember comparing them. They both had longer plays than this, for sure, but neither one was a classic home run hitter where you felt like every time they touched the ball, I didn't get that feeling with Le'Veon, that he could go 80.
He was so patient behind the line, and once he saw it, then there was some little bit of a burst in speed component.
Right. So I looked at Najee and said, all right, maybe he's not a home run hitter. I never dreamed it would be this. He was somewhat effective at times. He had some good games. He made some big plays. I love his energy, his attitude, his intensity. He was kind of fun to watch at times. He won a bunch of those Angry Run Awards. But in the end, this dude averaged less than 4 yards a carry, 3.9. I don't care about the scheme, the line, the quarterback. He averaged 3.9 yards a carry in his career. That's like trending down towards Trent Richardson stuff. And the longest play he ever had on an NFL field was 37 yards. It was a bad pick. And someone text me or tweet me a couple weeks. How can you say it was a bad pick? He's had 1,000 yards every season. Well, 1,000 yards isn't the benchmark it used to be. And they took him in the first round, and he's a singles hitter. Love his style. Love his intensity, but he's a singles hitter whose numbers are shockingly, shockingly poor. 3.9 yards a carry. Oh, my God. So he was a mistake. And obviously the Steelers have admitted that because they didn't offer him a fifth year, correct?
And I would have been okay with offering him a fifth year in seeing what it looked like in the Arthur Smith offense. And my main problem with Najee compared to Le'Veon Bell is that Le'Veon showed a lot of patience behind the line waiting for the blocks to materialize.
Well, Najee
shows a lot more hesitancy.
Different planets, man. It's not just that. It's Le'Veon Bell was oozing with talent.
No doubt.
Was a great receiver. And while I say he wasn't like the classic breakaway back, he did have an 81-yard run in his second season. He's like a guy who, if he had stayed focused and stayed here probably, I think he'd be a Hall of Famer. Like, they don't belong in the same universe.
What I'm saying, though, comparing those two is, a lot of the times, both would wait behind the line to see if something would materialize. Bell, a lot more of a strategical way of going about it. And I'm not saying they're the same player. But I feel like when Najee was waiting to see what was going on, he had too much choppy feet just trying to figure out a lane to go, where Bell always had a purpose. And instead of, like Jalen Warren, see the hole and go and hit it.
That's vision. Like, yeah, that's
Najee
vision.
Najee didn't have the vision.
Right. That's vision. It's also having a little bit of burst to him where, you know, when Le'Veon, kind of what you're just saying, when he saw something, he got there in a hurry, even though he wasn't a sprinter. Najee never really seemed to be in a hurry, even when he was in a hurry. And 3.9. Oof. Now, in the end, Le'Veon was 4.1, so you say not much of a difference, but at the height of his powers, he was up around 5 most of the time, and then just killed all his numbers. Can you name all the teams that Le'Veon, I'm talking about now, killed all his numbers in the end by the teams he played with averaging 2.5 yards a carry? Name for me one, two, three, four, five, four of the five teams Le'Veon played for.
I can name you at least three.
Please.
The Jets.
Yes.
Kansas City.
Yes.
Baltimore.
Yes.
The Steelers.
That's four. Very good. Give me the last one, and that's a bonus.
Yeah, that's the one that I wasn't quite sure about. And I think he was just on a practice squad with somebody.
No, he played. He played three games for this team, and he teamed up, I think, for this year with one of his old friends from Pittsburgh.
Miami?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's right. He did play for Tampa a couple of games. Was that the Super Bowl year? He won a Super Bowl with Kansas City.
It was 21 for Tampa Bay.
So he won. Does Le'Veon Bell have two Super Bowl rings?
Oh, my God. I think he might.
Or was he cut?
He might have been cut. I don't know if he got a Super Bowl ring that year. The last game of his career was for Tampa. Very sad that year, I might add.
Three games in 2021 with Tampa.
January 9th. That must have been a playoff game. The last game of Le'Veon's career, three carries for 14 yards, one catch for 1 yard.
Pro Football Reference
says. And he scored it. It was for a touchdown. It was for a 1 yard touchdown.
His last play of his career was a touchdown?
Yes. No, I don't know about that.
Congratulations on all of his success.
His one catch was a touchdown. Now you have me curious. Was that the last play of his career was a touchdown? May I look that up while you talk to the masses, Limits?
That'd be a good way to go out.
I don't know why. No, it wasn't. Hold on. I still need to check. From Tom Brady. Let's put it this way. The last touchdown of his career was a 1 yard pass from Tom Brady. That ain't a bad way to go out, is it? And guess who Tom Brady was matched up against in that playoff game? The other quarterback for Carolina.
For Carolina?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield?
Sam Darnold.
Oh, Sam Darnold.
This is incredulous.
I forgot that year that Darnold played in Carolina.
Everybody did, Limits. Everybody did.
2018, Pro Football Reference says, did not play, contract dispute. Yep. What could have been if he kept playing for the Steelers? Him and AB. If AB didn't, you know, go into the cryotherapy machine and say, I'm free, yelling all of the way to Vegas and all the way back to free agency.
Can you name Carolina's leading rusher from that game? Playoff game against the Bucs in 2000. Boy, this really does underscore.
Christian McCaffrey?
No. When I say that every year is a lifetime, it's a football lifetime in the NFL. This is what Brady was getting at on that broadcast a couple weeks ago at the end of the year. I've mentioned this before. I think it was the Rams. It was somebody where they were talking about next year. He said, there's not a next year in the NFL. He said, you have magical years. You have certain years guys stay healthy. Every year is a different lifetime in this league. I think it was the Commanders because he was talking about 3-14. Now look at him. But that doesn't guarantee next year. Remember the RG3 Washington team where they look like they'd be around for years and years? It just changes. Who was the leading rusher for Carolina in that game, Limits?
Chuba Hubbard.
Someone just told you that, didn't they?
Well, he's also their running back now still, right?
Did someone just tell you that when they came in the room?
No, that was Jeff coming in the room to say that he's going to be on with us in 5 minutes.
Very good.